Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go.
All right, who's feeling chipper today? Who's feeling like there's victory in the air? Who's feeling like, shut up?
You need to push the latter. Boy, yeah, radio veteran I am. I've got my microphone on. So I guess I'm not feeling too chipper
today,
John.
No, not too chipper today. Welcome inside the playbook for Thursday. Of course, we've got the Pats and Jets coming up on Sunday. We'll certainly get to a lot of that good stuff here coming up in the program in just a little bit. Eric Allen from Jets.com is going to join us in hour number two, as will Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. In the meantime, the question that I want to ask today, you know, certainly I think jibes with what we talked a little about yesterday, but first of all, we need your thoughts on the game. Who's feeling optimistic? Or who's feeling pessimistic? Optimism or pessimism? Are you a glass half full kind of person or a glass half empty kind of person?
Neither.
Well, that's not an answer.
No, it
is.
You're
one or the other.
No, you're not. There's a third option. You can be a realist. You have half a glass.
Nah, but that's no fun.
It is what it is.
Oh, God. Here we go. Why does everything go back to a Belichickism?
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. I didn't get that from Belichick. No, think about it.
It is what
An
it
optimist
is.
Says I...
Nobody ever said it is what it is before Bill Belichick
came
along.
I'm talking about the glass analogy.
Oh, okay. I came up with the glass analogy. I thought you were talking about the cliche.
An optimist says the glass is half full. A pessimist says it's half empty. A realist just says, I have half a glass.
It's a half a glass.
Right. There you
gotta
go.
Have a bottle of water.
I have a half a bottle of water right
okay.
there.
All right. So you're a realist
that's,
as opposed
right.
to being... See, but I think a realist, though, can be either optimistic or pessimistic.
They can, right. You can also just take it at face value.
I'm not buying that. Frankly, I think that if you're... All right, let's put it this way. You're a realist about this game. All right, and that's what I'm asking fans to choose a side today. You're either
And I will.
Okay, you will. That's true.
I always do.
I know you do. You usually come through in the end. It takes you a while, but sometimes we have to kind of kick in the
Well, because we like to stretch it out to 3 o'clock.
I understand.
You know.
But that's what I'm asking today. I'm asking for fans to either be optimistic or pessimistic. Which one are you and why? Predict the score of the game and tell me you're optimistic or you're pessimistic about the outcome this week, based on the events, of course, that have led us to this point in time where the team is 5-3 overall and you're staring at the possibility of 3 straight losses if you lose this Sunday at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands. All right, so that's what I'm asking. We'll get the business out of the way here. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us via email. The Ace Ticket Hotline is open and available. And jump in now, 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Got my Facebook page up as well. And if you're not a friend on Facebook, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. That's where you find me.
I'm the CEO, bitch.
That's right. CEO of John Rook. And if you're not a friend, submit the request, and we will accept that, and we'll talk some football. Very simple. You can also follow on Twitter, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. JRook 0722 is the Twitter page. Now we've gotten that out of the way. That's how you contact us here on the show. Do it now. I want you to jump in now because a lot of the 3 o'clock hour is going to be interview. Won't be a whole lot of opportunity to certainly do the phone call aspect in the second hour of the program. There's always a little time, but it's, you know, neither here nor there. So do it now if you want to be heard today. I'm asking about the whole pessimism versus optimism thing because, quite frankly, I'm torn. I've jumped back and forth, especially over the last 24 hours. I've tried to make myself, I looked at this somewhat analytically. I've started out, in other words, Eric, like you have, realist, I started out right in the middle.
Trying to be rational about it.
Trying to be rational. Well, that's what we do on this show. You know, we do this, and I think we do it as well as any show out there.
I try anyway.
Especially when you realize that, hey, we're covering a team here, and this team does float part of our salary. Mm. You would think that a lot of people expect us to be homers. I got castigated by it here via email yesterday on the show from someone that said we're not enough of a homer.
Wow.
And I said, well, that's
if you want that, go to EEI.
Well, okay. Partially, that's true, right?
You're making my point.
But we try to break it down based on the facts as we see them.
That's how it should be.
One of the things that I love about PFW, we like to bang on, the chuckleheads.
The paper or the show?
Well, both.
Okay.
And we like to bang on the other two guys and, the guy who was under the weather today as well for being knuckleheads every now and then. But I will say this. These guys and yourself, you do your job as well as any team publication out there. You guys are given tremendous rein when you consider who really writes your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're lucky for that because I wouldn't want to do the job if I was
supposed to be a mouthpiece.
I agree with you. It's very hard. If you want to be a PR person, then go be a PR person. And that's what you can be. But that's not what we're supposed to be. That's not what Patriots.com radio is about either. Right. We're about bringing out the issues. We can be fans just like anybody who's listening here. And we are. We have our favorites on the team and off the team. And we have our favorites, around the NFL. I'm a Cowboy fan from way back and all this stuff. But we try to also be realists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled myself aside, from looking at this as I'm studying the game a little bit last night and amongst all the other games that I got going on this weekend. And I'm thinking, I don't like sitting on the fence. I'm a little uncomfortable sitting on the fence on this thing. And so I thought, what would be a good idea today is I want to get people, make sure that they're off the fence. Because, the old adage in talk radio is don't sit on the fence because you're going to get hit from both sides. And that's not good for anybody. You got to take a stand. That way you see where the daggers are coming from.
I thought if you sat on the fence, you had a
thing up your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that's true. It's true.
Fence post up your backside.
Yeah, exactly. So I want pessimist or optimist and why, prediction for the game, score prediction for the game, how you arrive at that. And I'm going to tell you right now that I've been a pessimist all week. Okay? I'm not sitting on the fence. I'm not being a realist. I have been more of a pessimist all week. And if you've listened to the show at any point in time over the course of the last 2 days, you probably have pegged that a little from the tone and tenure that we've given here on the show. And I think probably that's actually a little bit out of character for me. I like to think of myself as an upbeat, positive, glass half full kind of guy, especially when it comes to this football team. And frankly, the football team has given us every reason to be that kind of individual because of the success that's been here. And I think because of the success that's been here, and this sort of aligns itself with the fact that our fans are spoiled, Eric. You probably see where I'm going with this thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Because our fans expect it, I think our fans, by and large, by nature, are optimists. So if you're not feeling as optimistic as I have been this week, what turned it for you?
Are you saying fans in general or fans of this team?
Fans of this team.
Okay.
It may very well be. I think it's probably fans in general, but I'm talking about specifically fans of this team, of the Patriots. People who consider themselves fans, who cover this team, who can't get enough of this team, who want to read and listen and talk about every little thing Patriot that they can.
Which is a departure from where they were the previous 40 years of the team's existence.
Yes, yeah.
The last 10 years.
Yeah, the last 10 years is a definitive departure from the first 40. All right, it's a different mindset.
It used to be whatever could go wrong would.
Yes,
and they expected it to.
And you and I have been a part of that. We've grown up with that culture. We've been up here long enough to where we've seen both sides.
Mm.
And so I'm not sure, especially for those that would be younger fans, and I'm going to say probably on the south side of 30, certainly on the south side of 30, don't really get that. And I would say for those of you who live outside the area, you may have grown up here, you may have been through here, or your parents or grandparents may have been fans of the Patriots, but I'm not sure you grasp what I'm talking about here because of the fact you didn't live it. Now, if you lived it, that's different. And these are folks that I really love to kind of get some feedback from today. On both sides, whether or not you're a new fan or you're an older fan, whether or not you're a Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady guy, or if you're a Steve Grogan Babe Parilli guy, Jim Plunkett. All right, we'll go a little bit more.
Yeah, Plunkett.
That. Plunkett guy. That's kind of what I'm looking for here. And so optimist by nature or pessimist by nature, depending on the kind of person you are, why are you optimistic and why are you pessimistic? Take all this into consideration, and why are you feeling like that today about this game this Sunday? What has caused you over the course of this season in particular now to turn you one way or the other? And I kind of have a definitive moment for me. It kind of happened for me against Pittsburgh. And I will admit, I did not watch the Pittsburgh game. I listened to it on Westwood One radio because I was traveling back from Virginia. My son was on a recruiting baseball camp trip to the University of Virginia down in Charlottesville. And so we were both like, you know, all right, do we want to pull over and find a place and watch the game? And it's like, no.
I never got to ask you about that. We can come back to that later.
Oh, sure.
I never got to ask you about that.
Well, it's, you know, it was good father-son bonding time.
Good.
You know, we managed to pick up terrestrial radio. Didn't even have to do the satellite. We had terrestrial radio almost the entire way. And I'd say we caught all but about maybe half a quarter, which I thought was, you know, extraordinary, you know, in this day and age. Because there's just so much product out there.
Yeah.
But to me, the defining moment that has kind of turned me from optimist to pessimist, and I'm not talking about generally overall, but I'm talking about in particular on this season,
mm-hmm.
right now. It happened. Let's see if I can remember the time frame. It really sort
so
of
it was a play. It was a particular
well,
play.
Well, yeah, it was just sort of. I don't know why. It was just sort of a feeling that kind of washed over me, and I'm like, wow, that's just kind of unusual. I'm thinking that it probably had to do more than anything else with the opening sequence of the game. The Patriots going 3-and-out, which had not happened without a score. To that point in time in the season, they had at least gone with a field goal on their opening drive until the Pittsburgh game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pittsburgh coming down and taking a good long drive, ramming it down their throats, and scoring 7. And for some reason or another, you just felt, you and I were just talking about this before the show started today, you just felt that early in that game, even though the Patriots were largely in that game, numerically speaking, mm-hmm. you never felt like they were in it, mentally, physically. You just kind of felt like Pittsburgh
yeah,
was
dominating. The only time I felt that was at the last 2 minutes of the game. The last 4 minutes of the game.
Right, when they were...
When they
scored. And
when the should-have-been touchdown to Gronkowski happened, and
yeah.
I thought, you know, maybe they get the onside kick here, they still have a chance. That was the only time. And actually, when Pittsburgh got the ball back and decided to throw the ball instead of run it, and Roethlisberger got sacked back-to-back and nearly could have lost the ball and cost themselves the game. That was the only time I thought they were in that game.
I just kind of felt like, you know, for a team that, you know, has always done so well, remarkably well, coming off a bye week, to be that flat, to go 3-and-out on your opening series, and then to allow the Steelers to come right down and punch you in the mouth.
Both halves they went 3-and-out.
Both halves. To me, that was terribly deflating. Terribly deflating and unusual. And so that kind of swung me. And now I have a little bit of more of a pessimistic view about this team. Before that, I maintained an optimistic point of view of this team, but that swung me toward the dark side. Now, if the Patriots win this week, I think it's entirely possible and plausible, both, that I swing myself back to the other side because we'll see that's the beauty in all this, right? We can always change.
Well, it's emotional.
Of course,
it's an emotional game.
Emotion.
Emotions have a tendency to go to one.
But
one
I would tell you now that based on what we've seen over the last 2 weeks, I'm not quite certain, unless you've just got blind faith, I'm not quite certain anybody can look at this optimistically.
There are folks who can.
I said, they got blind faith.
Yeah, one of them hosts a show here after yours.
Again, he's a perfect example. The one that hosts the show before, too.
Right. That's a good point, too.
Between right. Fred and Pete.
Yeah.
Jeez, you know, we got a real pom-pom show
right.
going on here.
Don't want to see them in skirts,
No, not at all. Not at all. So what are your thoughts?
I see your point. I still think you can look at it analytically without letting... I think you can use history as your guide and just say, you know, I've come to this conclusion because I see a pattern forming that history tells me is going to send a team in one direction or another. I don't think that's pessimistic or optimistic. I think that's just fact-based. You know?
Yeah.
Can you buy that? Can you come to a conclusion without it being emotionally charged?
I can see where you could say that. I'm not sure a Patriots fan, quotations around the word fan, I'm not sure a fan can do that. I just think there's too much invested from a fan's point of view where I'm not sure that you can look at it somewhat analytically.
Because I think you might be right about that, because I think some fans who are so passionate, they always think the worst because they're so nervous about the outcome because they can't control it, mm-hmm. you know? So they always think that the worst is going to happen because they don't have any control over it. Some of them are so passionate that they always want the best to happen and they talk themselves into it. I just like the way I make predictions for the picks we do on Thursday,
right.
And in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do it based on, you know, certain things, like a team like the Giants has somewhat of an emotional win coming here last week.
Mm-hmm.
They celebrate in the locker room after. We talked about it at the very end of the show. Now they have to go 3,000 miles the other direction, play a pretty good team at home, on the road, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
History tells me that that's a game a team like the Giants is going to lose. So that's why I pick against the Giants. Even if I were a Giants fan, I would look at that and say, you know what? They've come off two pretty good wins. This looks like historically the odds favor their losing than winning this game. I don't think that's emotion based. I think that's just
fact based.
Fact and analytic based.
Okay.
You're not buying it though.
No. I understand your point. I just think that though you're largely making that decision based on a negative, which would be a pessimistic point of view.
In that particular case, maybe. Well, but I could also come up with an analytical point based on historical positives for a team, which I've done.
Okay. Can you make one?
Sure. I'll take a game from this week.
Yeah.
That I did just that way in the case.
Check them out. Look them over.
Yeah, I'm looking them up. I am looking them over now. The Chargers.
Okay.
The Chargers.
Yeah.
I'm positively picking them over the Raiders because historically that tells me division game, starting to get into the second half of the year, coming off a terrible game at home last week to a team the best team in the league they should have beaten.
Mm-hmm.
I think they take it out on their division opponents, okay. The Raiders. I'm looking at that from a positive perspective.
San Diego home?
San Diego at home to the Raiders.
Raiders.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, a pessimistic fan would look at that and say, Philip Rivers sucks. He throws all these pick sixes. He's the reason why they lose.
Right.
I'm taking the opposite approach.
Okay. Well, then, okay.
I can make it for either way.
Yeah, you're kind of making my point. Here's the thing. I mean, you can go positive based on an optimistic outlook or you can go optimistic based on a positive outlook. You can go pessimistic based on a negative outlook. See, there are still emotions that drive even what we would call fact-based opinion or information. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. Yep.
Emotions drive everything here. So that's why when someone says, well, I'm going to look at it straight down the middle. Well, okay, based on which way you decide, though, your decision is going to be based either on a positive or a negative outcome. Does that not make sense? You're not going to make a neutral decision based on a neutral outcome. Because a neutral outcome, unless you kiss your sister,
yeah.
It ain't happening.
Yeah.
And we all know in the NFL that doesn't mm-hmm. happen anymore. Or not supposed to anyway. It's rare. Very rare.
But so, I'm not letting my emotions make that decision. Like, I have no emotional reason to pick the Chargers over the Raiders.
Right.
I have no betting interest, nothing. Just,
okay.
You know, other than the, you know.
All right.
Picks
you know what? Yeah,
I
give you that. I certainly give you that.
So, all I care about emotionally is mm-hmm. being right. Making the right pick, having the best. Seriously, I want the best score every week. I want to win the picks contest. I want to have bragging rights. That's the only reason I care about.
How are we doing in the picks contest?
Here? I am two behind the leader at this point.
Who's the leader?
Karen Garrigan from the Herald.
Right, okay. I was going to say it's not Flip LeChance, is it?
No, God, no.
I root for Flip. No offense.
You would.
You would. Well, of course I would. Paul sends me this on Facebook. He says, I'm pessimistic. I'm pulling a negativino.
Oh, come
and
on.
And I feel like the sky is falling. I think the wheels have come off the cart. On the day of the game, I'll cheer, scream, and root for the players to win, but I'm not feeling all that optimistic. He says, 31 for gangrene, Patriots 17. We have no secondary. That's Paulie in L.A.
Well, the secondary certainly is hurting right now, especially the back end of it.
And then we have our friend Mary Beth in Syracuse, who says, the eternal optimist I am, looking for a victory on Sunday. The Jets have been hot and cold, so go Pats. Score, prediction, close.
Oh, great.
Yeah, close is what she says. So, see, we got two kind of balancing each other out a little bit there already. Two balancing.
She didn't give us a score, though.
No,
close doesn't. Close
she
isn't
says
a score.
Close.
That's not a score. Close
no.
could be 90 to 99.
Yeah, that's also true. See, I tend to think that, you know, she's saying, and knowing Mary Beth is I think I know her, and she's a longtime listener and follower of the show mm-hmm. and a good Patriots fan. I think she's saying that because that's the outward persona she wants to portray, but deep down inside, she didn't have much faith.
Or else she would have made a score
she
prediction.
She would have made a score prediction.
Yeah.
See, I just called you out, Mary
oh,
Beth. What do you say about
snap.
That? What do you say about that? I just called her out. We'll see if she comes back with a score prediction. All right? All right, so what's your score prediction? 508-298-0398. Hook up with us on the Ace Ticket Hotline or via webmail at webradio@patriots.com, our email address, Facebook page. We're here. Where are you? Twitter, @JRook0722. Let's sneak in a timeout. Then we're going to come back. We're going to get into some of your comments. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Jets. We'll get into some real Jets X and an Owen in the next hour, and we'll take a look around the NFL with Russell Baxter. It's all coming up inside the playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoop. tips. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Web radio at patriots.com, the email address. Facebook as well. Twitter at jrook0722. All right. Steve sends this on Facebook. He says, I'm 25, turning 26. Started rooting for the Patriots during the 2001 season. Lucky. Mm-hmm. I'm optimistic. I should add that I began rooting during the season, not after the first Super Bowl. That's a big difference. Analytically, I'm not feeling good about the game. However, I'm very charged about this game. I have to think outside the box. Analytics are never perfect, and a team that has no business winning ends up winning at least once a week.
That's a good point.
You know, that is a very good point.
That's analytical. That's neither optimistic nor pessimistic.
And based on the tracker, it's also factual. A team that usually has no business winning in this, especially in this topsy-turvy NFL year, ends up winning one week or another.
Any given
Sunday. Yeah. And even more so this year.
Yeah.
So why not the Patriots? I totally agree the Patriots have a shot. I just don't like. I don't like the way things are lining up.
No, not at all. I don't think that makes you pessimistic, though, John.
Doesn't
I think you're looking at it objectively and seeing what's there.
Mary Beth got off the fence.
Yes.
21-20.
Who? 21-20 who?
Patriots.
So, for her, that's essentially picking the Jets. That's conceding the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Given her track record.
She does have the Patriots covering, though. Isn't it 1.5?
Was it?
Isn't that the spread? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it was 1.5.
All right, well, if that's it, then she's got the Pats covering. Certainly she has the Pats covering. By a couple of points.
Well, it's the Jets.
I know. By a couple of points.
By 1.5.
Right.
So they just all they have to do is win outright.
Right. Yeah. Sort of like losing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, Mary Beth.
That's pessimistic.
She's confident. Yeah. Well, I was about to say. I mean, even in victory, even in an optimistic stand yeah. that you may take, there's still some pessimism involved.
Less optimistic than usual equals pessimism.
It's just kind of the way it works.
We're just messing with you, Mary Beth.
Yeah, we know she's a good fan. All right, let's get to some emails here because I'm dying to find out what folks are thinking on this particular instance.
She lives in Syracuse. She's got to be an optimist.
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. By the way, I'll be in the queues tomorrow.
For
college football tomorrow.
Football?
Night. Yeah. Syracuse, South Florida tomorrow night.
Carrier Dome?
Carrier Dome. Carrier Dome.
I went to the Dunk for the first time last night since it was refurbished.
Really? You haven't been in there?
Haven't been in there since it was
Dude, why didn't you say something? I'd give you tickets so you could come and watch the Friars lose.
I guess that's why I didn't say anything. Yeah, wow. I hadn't been since, when was it?
What was the event?
Josh Groban in concert.
Gotcha. Was it good?
Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent. And I loved the, I like what they did with the place.
It looks more like a
real arena.
Yeah.
And I like all the black seats because it's the Friars home court.
Well, it's the Friars home court, and you got to admit that.
And it's the PB's home court.
Yeah,
home ice.
The Providence Bruins, the farm team for the Boston Bruins. In the American Hockey League, their colors are the same, which is black and gold.
Yeah.
Friars are
black and white.
Yeah. So, I mean, black is the predominant color.
Right.
And we've had these ugly red and blue seats for, you know, decades.
No sense.
Since the stupid place opened up back in 1973,
right.
72. And, you know, when they redid the dunk 3-4 years ago, you know, black seats were finally put in. Yeah, the place is sharp, man.
Oh, yeah.
Place, it's a pro arena.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't you get the feeling when you walked in, that's a pro arena?
It's more fitting of the type of teams that play there.
It's also why the NCAA's year before last came back.
Decided to come back,
you know,
right.
Basketball tournament. The hockey NCAA regionals are coming back in another
Frozen
year.
Frozen Four?
Not the Frozen Four, the regionals.
Oh, the regionals. Oh.
Which is actually better than the Frozen Four because the regionals now have 8 teams in them. Frozen Four is only got 4.
Hmm.
So that means actually it's better.
More games.
It's better to get the regional because you got 8 schools coming in
money-wise,
with your fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So you really want a regional. The Frozen Four is great because it's the national championship game and all that, but you kind of want the 8. If you really are looking for the income in the streets of the city, you want the regionals. The regionals are good.
But I was impressed with the way it looked.
Yeah. It's a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What were we digressing from?
The Jets.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Them. Brian says, Rook, I'm optimistic. I am emotionally prepared to lose. I don't think. No. Isn't that good?
He's taking
I'm optimistic, but I'm emotionally prepared to lose.
To his emotional well-being.
That's right.
That's good.
It's kind of like saying, I'm normal, but I'm also mentally deranged. I don't think it would be a bad thing here. I think we could lose this one and then win out the rest of the season. That means playoffs and likely the division. We have the easiest season of the AFC East going forward. I would love to see a win here, but I am a realist. Go Pats.
Well, yes, but I don't know if he looked at the Jets' schedule because they play in their last – after this game.
Don't the Jets have the same schedule?
6 of the last 7 are the same teams that the Patriots will be playing.
So the Jets could also
easily
run the table. So, see? Hate to burst your bubble, Brian,
right.
And everybody else thinking that. Right. Hey, we could run the table. We could be division champions and get to the playoffs, maybe even still have a bye. We still lose the game.
Love it when he gets into his old Fort Worth accent.
Tarnation! Funny how times of stress, you always slip to what you know best. Yeah. I mean, I guess I can understand.
I think it's a good question, though, John, because I want to see what the fans... If there's a consensus among the fans, are they more optimistic or pessimistic?
Right. Well, that's what I'm trying to get at today. And right now we're about 50-50. Tony, so optimistic, John. Not even in a homeristic way. I had doubts about the Cowboys game. I had doubts about the Steelers game, even though everyone else thought a Pats win was a foregone conclusion. And I definitely had doubts about the Giants game. However, here, for some reason, I just feel like Tom's due for a great game. He's also due for a win in New York. He hasn't won there since 07. Finally, I feel that with their backs to the wall, the Patriots will win. In fact, simply for the reason that almost everyone is counting them out. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Pats blowout win.
I wouldn't either.
And the defense picking off Sanchez 3 times.
I wouldn't be surprised by it all either.
By the way, that's another good point he brings out.
Which
we haven't brought up in the last couple of weeks or last couple of days. Patriots have lost the last 2 times they played in New York against the Jets. So
you think that's a factor?
Maybe. Maybe.
A positive factor or a negative one?
I think it could work either way, to be honest with you. Now, I'm not being wishy-washy, but I could see it working.
You're being analytical.
Yeah. now you're going to get me.
Realist.
That,
you have half a glass there, my friend.
No. This has nothing to do with being half full or half empty. Shut the hell up. Logic. Logic's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Love it. Hey, if you can't laugh at yourself, then you can't laugh at anything. I actually can see both sides of that. Again, my own personal thought is, is that I have to look at it from a somewhat pessimistic point of view based on the recent track record. This team does not seem to have the intestinal fortitude of recent Patriots additions. And maybe it's because the roster's been made over. Maybe it's because we don't have the vocalness of the veteran leadership like we've had in the past, or the presence in the locker room like we've had in the past. I don't know. But maybe it's a combination of everything. I'm just reading this differently. I don't know that this team has the ability to pick its ass up off the canvas and get back out there when the bell rings.
And winning teams can do that.
That's what I'm saying. And in this day and age, right now, in 2011, which is really, you know, the most even year of any of the parity years, because all the teams really started from a real even get-go here, you know, for, you know, all the pre-strike stuff and all that stuff was going on. I just think that, you know, momentum swings are huge. And the Patriots are staring into the abyss of a negative momentum swing.
Yeah, sure are.
And when you're going on the road, and it's got to be, you know, in a place like, you know, New York, I would love to be wrong. Okay?
Well, of course.
And then that way next Tuesday, man, we're, you know.
Yeah, not.
Nah.
You're not nitpicking as much.
No, we're not nitpicking. We're talking about the good things. And, you know, but I'm just giving you this is the track record.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I feel the way I do. All right. Johnny in Leeds, England. And Noel, who says, the little set biggest Pats fan in the world. Hey, John. Hey, Eric. Just thought I would weigh in on the Belichick draft argument and offer some factual reading. I went back to the 06 draft to see how many good picks we made since then. And it ain't good reading.
Mm.
I excluded the 2010 and 2011 drafts because it's a little early to write those off. Also excluded undrafted free agents. Basically, in four drafts, we have 9 players still on the roster, 29 off the roster. From the 9 we do have on the roster, 5 are special teams. 1 is fifth-choice lineman. 1 is Seabass. Mayo and Chung make up the list. I realize the picks in later rounds are hard to find talent, but a lot of these players that are gone are first, second, and third-round picks. Full list of cuts is below, but my summary is Belichick is a genius. We're going to the Super Bowl, but please, dude, get a little help.
There's none to be had at the moment, Johnny, I'm afraid.
No, I think the only help you're going to get here, Johnny, is going to come in the off season because it ain't going to happen anytime soon.
Nope.
You know? And although Johnny makes some good points there. Makes some good points. He's talking about things that we've kind of seen were going to be problematic.
One of the stories I'm working on for not this coming issue, but the one following, is on the no-huddle offense. And New England's no-huddle offense, not no-huddles in general. But I'm breaking down every offensive drive they've had this year and sorting out no-huddle drives, just drives in which they used no-huddle at some point. It could only have been for 2 plays. It could have been for the entire drive. As if there's a no-huddle component to a drive,
okay.
I'm considering that a no-huddle drive as opposed to drives in which there were no huddle plays at all, and doing an analysis of you know, correlation between no huddle drives, scoring results, point totals, that kind of thing. And I'm not even close to being done yet, but early results, John, not going to be surprising to you. They ran a lot of no huddle early and often in the first quarter of the season when they were scoring 30 plus points a game and beating everybody. Second quarter of the season, those no huddle drives went significantly down.
Why?
And they haven't had as much success.
Right. So I'm going to ask, why have they stopped no huddling?
That's the question I asked Bill the other day, and I'm going to try to get
some answers.
Brady to ask to answer some too next week. Bill actually gave me some decent answers.
What did he say?
Essentially, no huddle isn't always the best thing for your offense because you're essentially precluded from making substitutions as well.
It is what it is.
And when you can't substitute, you can't use every play in your playbook. So you're restricted in what you can call. And now, while that may be helpful against, you know, if you have the the right matchups against whoever's out there on defense, you might want to call a different type of play than you're able to execute.
But if the team has trouble stopping a certain player too, why wouldn't you keep dialing it up until they stop it?
Right. And I think all I can gather is that certain matchups to start the game warrant taking a slower approach.
I never said that.
Reading and reacting to what... No, you didn't say that in so many words, but I had to read between the lines. There were a lot of lines to read between. But no, it was he was a lot more forthcoming in his answer than I kind of expected. And also wanted to know, you know, whether Brady goes out there with a sequence of plays already in his head so he knows, you know, the next five plays are scripted. Here's what we're going to call.
Hell no.
Or does he get, you know, here's the first play, go run it, I'll feed you the next play when you're done with this one. And it varies. But the bottom line is, so far, and again, I'm not even close to being done with my analysis of it. I've just basically...
Can't wait to see this now.
Just basically broke down each drive, each offensive drive of the season in the first eight games. And a quick glance tells me the more they ran no huddle, the better results they had, both scoring and in the final outcome of the game. And the less they ran it, the less successful they were in scoring drives and the less successful in games.
Interesting. By the way, our boy Derek at the University of Arizona chimes in. He says, the only thing less surprising than Mary Beth taking the Pats is Enrique Negativino attending a Josh Groban concert. I'm optimistic about this game because I think they have lost by just a few plays in either of the previous two games, and they should come out firing this week. I will say it's close at first, but the Pats pull away. He's going to say New England 27, Jets 20.
See, Derek doesn't know how to perform analytical research because he doesn't go to class.
analytical analysis.
He skipped that class.
Olivier in Virginia in the playbook.
He's
Hi,
like,
Olivier. How
like
are you?
School in the summertime. He has no class.
I am good. And guys, how are you doing?
Excellent today.
I'm actually in Florida today.
Oh,
nice. The world, this guy.
Hey.
Yes.
I'm very impressed. Well, I hope the round goes well.
Well, yeah. I'm starting tomorrow. I'm at the beach right now. Just
life is tough.
Wait a minute.
Thinking about what can we do to win? And
wait a minute.
You're at the beach and you're thinking about what the Patriots have to do to win? You are sick.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a Patriots fan. Yes. And here is what I think.
All right.
I think that all of the odds are against us, which is a perfect situation for us. So I'm going to change my attitude from pain and fear of disappointment to thinking that we may have a chance to win, and I think we're going to pull an upset this week. Most people think we're going to lose, even Peter King. You know, I saw his latest article saying that he's, there is no way we're going to be winning this game.
Right.
Same guy that put us in Sport Illustrated being the championship, or at least a Super Bowl contender this year.
That's right.
I think he's less than 0.500 in his predictions.
Right.
So that may actually be working for us. I think that this team, both teams are playing for, you know, a lot more than just the division lead. I think they are playing for their chance of survival in the postseason, or even to get into the postseason. So, yeah, it's going to be a great game. But I think that our team will be able to perform better under pressure than the Jets will be able to do at this stage of the season.
Where does that confidence come from, though, Olivier?
You know, the gentleman from Arizona and I have been exchanging the email, and we have a lot of analytical skills to be able to put it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I.
That was a shot at you, Derek. It's a class,
I'm
punk.
I'm just kidding. Anthony and I have been working our offensive coordination to be able to replace most of the staff, including Bill, and we came up with a great plays. No, I'm just kidding again. I'm just thinking that something is gonna give. And I think everyone knows that within the Pats team. You know, you're right, John. They are looking at the abyss. And I think that's when they're going to resurrect. And this is not hope. I mean, maybe it's hope, but I think something is going to happen. Because if it doesn't, that's as simple as that. It's over.
Well,
I mean, I think that the season will win and so forth. But when I say it's over, we will be successful this season. We will win maybe 11 and so forth. But we may not be able to, you know, to make it into the playoffs. So that's where I'm coming from. It's a pure emotional thought process here.
Look, if I had to go into a boxing ring,
yes,
with Manny Pacquiao right now,
yes,
and my you know, my house. If my house were on the line, if I had to win the fight in order to keep my house,
yes,
I would go into that fight knowing I had to win.
Yes,
and also knowing I would get my ass kicked and I would lose my house because yes. I know I'm not the better fighter.
Yes.
So knowing that they have to win is one thing, Olivier, but being able to do it is another.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And by the way, the reason why I'm not in my house and I'm someone else's house today is
you bet them to beat the Steelers 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
I said because you bet them to beat the Steelers 2 weeks ago.
You know, I don't remember what I did. All I know is that I was really, really hurt, and John had to console me a lot.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, that's right. I remember that actually.
It's true. But anyways, I appreciate your time. I'll let you go.
Yeah, get back to the beach.
Hey, all right. Yeah, go back to the beach. But give us what's the score for Sunday?
I think we win by a field goal.
Really?
I think it's going to be a field goal. It's going to be super tight, and then we either that or Brady comes back and do a.
No either or. We need a score. High or low score? Give me
get
a score.
Get off the fence.
I think 24-20, Pat.
Okay. 24-20.
That's more than a field goal.
It's a little more than a field goal, but yeah, but that's acceptable.
Thank you.
All righty.
Go back to the beach.
Guys. Yeah. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right.
God. Calling us from the beach.
Beach. Really?
I didn't hear any seagulls in the background.
Guy's disturbed. You know what? He was probably like in the bathroom off the beach. Depends on what beach he's at. If he's at South Beach, is he at the nude part of the South Beach?
If he was, what the hell was he calling us for?
That's what I'm saying. Dude is just wrecked. He's totally wrecked if he's at the nude beach, you know, in Miami, and he's calling us from the bathroom, which is what it sounded like he was doing.
Yeah. I don't want to know. Really don't. Lubricants. Nah, he might have had to use some of those.
Oh, I'm not going there. All right, go right. I'll see you Sunday in the press box.
I have to make a prediction.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, you know what?
Don't let me off the hook that easy.
No, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Plus, practice report today.
Yeah.
We never even got to it.
Same four guys that were missing.
Same four. Okay.
Chung with the foot, Fletcher with the thumb, Spikes with the knee, Wendell with the concussion.
Okay.
And in about an hour, we'll find out about the Jets. But I think, as we mentioned, it looked like Plaxico was not a go again today at practice. So
that can only help.
You would think, yeah.
Against our secondary, that can only help.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a world beater the first time around, but yeah, not having him in there certainly, he's gotten better since then,
right.
And not having him will be advantageous to New England. But I'm going to say it's going to be a relatively low scoring again, John. Maybe not quite as ugly as last week started out with a 0-0 halftime score, but I will say. Jets 26, Patriots 18.
26-18.
Yeah.
I was thinking about 27-30 for the Jets and about 17-20 for the Patriots, somewhere in that frame. So since I got to get off the fence, I'm going to go with Jets 30, Patriots 20.
10-point win, and I got an 8-point win.
Yeah.
So Jets will win and cover, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Well, hey. I will see you Sunday.
I'll be there Sunday. I'll be there with you Sunday.
You're going for this, you're going to go witness this thing in person. And then maybe your momentum will swing if the Patriots actually win the game.
Well, I'm kind of hoping if the Patriots win the game that they can't do without me in the road.
And then
they'll
make you come
to
the rest of them. Yep. I'd like that too. It'd be nice to see you on road games.
There you go. But have places we could go, you know, visit and
exactly.
eat. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
we
all know the road trips are all about the food.
At the food and it's all about, for us, it's all about the stuff that happens before the game.
You know, that's true.
You know, we get all those work stuff.
Places we go and the people
right.
we can
exactly.
also see before the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go. All right.
All right, my friend.
See you there Sunday.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back with pro football guru Russell Baxter. And then we have Eric Allen from Jets.com. And still, your emails to come. Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic about the game this Sunday? Tell me which one, which side of the fence are you on? What's your score prediction? And then I'll let you know what everybody thinks. Right now, we're balancing the fence. We're about 50-50, optimists and pessimists. How's it going to swing? We'll find out coming up in the playbook.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
And that's exactly what we've done. We've called pro football guru Russell Baxter on that very same Ace Ticket Hotline. Russell, how are you today?
I'm good, John. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. There are some good things to talk about today, as there usually are with you, but hey, we've got some Thursday night football.
Yes, we do.
How about that?
It kicked off a terrific week, which I'm an old-fashioned guy.
Yeah.
So, no buys this week.
I like that. I like the no buys.
Kind of different the way they did the schedule this year, John. You know, as you well know, you know, the buys usually start in week four. This year they started in week five this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had those couple of weekends early on where we had no divisional games, 2 out of 4 weeks, or 2 out of 3 weeks. It was week 2 and week 4, I believe.
Right.
Now this week, starting with tonight, 8 divisional games, our share of rematches, and some really, really crucial things to be decided, because as you well know, all you got to do is look at the standings, and the AFC is a really, really interesting conference with all the teams bunched up in their respective divisions.
A lot of teams have a lot of opportunity left, which is, I think, why I'm getting a sense that Patriot fans, even if they lose this week, and we'll get to that a little bit later, but they're certainly still not out of it, although a win could help really kind of send them on their way, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But let me start with that Raiders-Chargers game tonight, because the Chargers have sort of taken a little bit of a flip-flop. Normally, this is a team that closes fast, and yet
I don't know, they started a little bit faster than normal this year. So which San Diego team are we going to see? And is this Raider team going to continue to get better with Carson Palmer?
Well, I mean, this is a very intriguing game because of the way the teams have played the last couple of weeks. The Raiders are riding a two-game losing streak. The Chargers a three-game losing streak. And you hit the nail on the head. Here was San Diego, who under Norv Turner started 2-3, 2-3, 2-3, and let me look it up, 2-3.
Yeah.
Four straight years.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, they're out of the gate 4-1. But then they squander a halftime lead, a 21-10 halftime lead to the Jets. And then they squander a chip shot field goal attempt when Philip Rivers drops the snap. And then last week, Philip Rivers, for the first time in his career, very interesting, throws three interceptions in a game. Two of them get returned for touchdowns. And all of a sudden, they're 4-4. But of course, the Raiders are 4-4. And the Chiefs are 4-4. And Denver's sitting 3-5, one game behind the crazy AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
But like we said, you look at Carson Palmer, who has thrown three interceptions in his two games with the Raiders, and that's three interceptions each. Three in the Chiefs game, three last week against Denver, although he threw three touchdown passes last week. And we alluded to Philip Rivers, and it's just mind-boggling the problems he's having hanging on to the football. He has committed, John, 17 turnovers this year in eight games. That's just not Philip Rivers.
No.
And, he's got 14 interceptions this year already. He only had 13 last year. Last year the Raiders swept the Chargers. And remember, they had not beaten them. They had lost 13 in a row to San Diego. And, of course, they swept the whole division last year. I think you kind of got to lead towards San Diego at home. But, if the quarterbacks continue to play the way they play, being Rivers and Palmer, I mean, this is anyone's guess. I mean, we saw Carson Palmer a couple weeks ago with Kyle Bowler. They threw two pick sixes, one each in the loss to the Chiefs. So if Rivers threw two pick sixes by himself last week, the funny thing is when these quarterbacks are playing, it looks like somebody's going to score. You're just not sure which team it is.
Right. So in this particular instance, with the Chargers being at home and trying to pull themselves out of this little bit of a skid that they're in, is what has happened to them over the last 3 weeks more of an anomaly, do you think? Or is this really more of a trend that you think that can continue, the Raiders coming on and the Chargers regressing?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell. Here is Oakland. Remember, Oakland's sitting at 4-2, one of their best starts in a long time, and then sitting there with three straight games against the division, two at home. And they give up 28 points to the Chiefs, again, two pick sixes. And then last week, against Tim Tebow and Willis McGahee, the Broncos ran for 299 yards.
Yeah, and I want to get to that in a second, sure.
And both Tebow and McGahee had big games. They gave up a long punt return to Eddie Royal for a touchdown. I mean, a 60-yard touchdown run. If you look at the last couple of games, it's kind of a random number, but you'll understand where I'm going here. In the last two games the Raiders have played, they've given up 66 points, and they've given up seven touchdown plays of at least 24 yards, which includes one pick six for 58, one pick six for 59, an 85-yard punt return, and a 60-yard TD run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are huge, enormous big plays that you're giving up, both offensively and defensively, and Hugh Jackson has to be scratching his head after the way his team was playing, and it looks like they're not going to have Darren McFadden again tonight. So, they're going to have their hands full, obviously, playing in San Diego, which up until last year they hadn't fared very well.
All right. Let me touch also on the Broncos and the other AFC West game because they're going to play at the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. And Denver introduced a little bit of a wrinkle that, we've always laughed about in the NFL. We've always talked about, geez, wouldn't it be really something in if an NFL team actually ran option offense like a college team does in the NFL? And the answer to that has always been, well, you could probably pull it off and maybe even do it with a small degree of success for a while, but the physicality and the speed of the game is eventually going to catch up with you. The teams will catch up. Well, the Broncos did that last week. As you suggested, they ran for over 200 in their win, and they've got a game at the Chiefs. You had Tebow, who passed for over 100, ran for over 100. So my question to you is going to be the obvious one here. What kind of life does a Bronco option offense have, and is it sustainable?
Well, what kind of life did the Wildcat have?
Well, it's still got some life to it.
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, we basically saw kind of catapulted Miami to a division title. And I'm not saying the Broncos are winning the AFC West. You almost got to preface that when you throw something out. But like anything else, until teams get a look at it, it's going to confound some people. And it'll be interesting. Listen, no one's pulled away in the AFC West. And, Kansas City, which, by the way, lost to the winless Dolphins last week. It's the third time this year, John, that the Chiefs, who won the division last year, have lost a game by at least 28 points, which is absolutely astounding. Yeah. It's funny. I don't think they want to see any more AFC East teams this year, because between what Buffalo and Miami did to them, and believe me, as you know, they got to play New England and the Jets yet.
Yeah.
You know, they got blown away in their own building by Buffalo and Miami. So, the Chiefs are so erratic. The entire division is so erratic. And, you know, after seeing Denver doing what they did last week and going into Oakland and winning that game, I mean, I don't put it past them they could come back and win again. The thing that obviously with Tebow is just seeing if he can do it a couple weeks in a row. He had an iffy game against Miami, but he had the comeback win. Against Detroit, he was absolutely horrible. Last week, his passes were sharp. Okay, a couple of his touchdown passes were very sharp and showed a little more zip on the ball probably than anybody was expecting, and of course then he added dimension. But isn't it fun when you've got a back in the backfield who can get you some yards?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, that's the key. This one-man football just doesn't work in the National Football League, and if Tim Tebow can get another big outing from Willis McGahee and get some plays from their defense and special teams, you know, they certainly can go into Kansas City and win this game.
Let me go to the AFC East opponents. Obviously, the Pats and Jets are one. Redskins are playing at the Dolphins, and I know the Dolphins got off the schneid, but that's really all I'm going to mention about that game because it doesn't mean a heck of a lot. But the Bills at the Cowboys does mean a lot because it's clear that either, you know, the Bills could still be tied for first place in the division if they can go on the road and win a game against the Dallas team that needs a win at home in order to stay very much, you know, a factor in the NFC East behind the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills last week, I mean, it was kind of the first time you saw Buffalo this year really kind of pushed around, for lack of a better word. And this is what I mean by this. We've seen their defense have a lot of problems this year. They've either been get the takeaways and win, or if they don't get takeaways, they don't win. But last week, they got a couple of early takeaways from Mark Sanchez. But they gave up the ball three times themselves. And eventually, the Jets wound up running the ball on them. For lack of a better word, the Bills looked a little, like, almost semi-demoralized after that loss. You know, obviously, they beat New England in their own building this year, and in order to stay in a three-team race, as the AFC East has become, you want to hold serve at home against your divisional foes. And they got blown away by the Jets last year in both games and gave up over 270 yards rushing in each of those games. And I think for the way they wound up losing this game, I think it maybe toyed with their confidence a little. And, their run defense, with the exception of the Redskins game this year, has been pretty bad. They did everything right defensively against the Redskins with the 10 sacks and, held them under 200 yards. But we know Buffalo's defense isn't that great. And depending on which version of the Cowboys offense shows up, and John, I don't know if you saw the game, but Dallas had 304 yards at halftime last week against Seattle.
Right.
And managed two field goals.
Right, I know. Sounds a little scary because I think we're becoming familiar with that scenario.
Well, I mean, that's a good. I mean, listen, I'll just do the math real quick. In other words, 608 yards and 12 points. I mean, obviously, that's not what happened, but to watch them last week, and it wasn't like they were turning over the ball left and right either. They had the one big turnover by Dez Bryant down by the goal line when he got. It was really actually a very good defensive play when he got hit. But if we can see Dallas, it's funny. Last year, the final eight games of the year, and I know it was John Kittenden, it wasn't Tony Romo, but there was such a commitment to the run by the Cowboys, which we really haven't seen this year. That's what you do to Buffalo. You can run the ball down their throat, you keep their offense off the field, Last week was really, you know, other than the Cincinnati game, was the first time we saw Buffalo's offense really kind of shackled. And if Dallas wants to win this game, they have to have some sort of – they've only had one game this year in eight where the Cowboys ran the ball at least 30 times. Mm. And that, to me, is very, very surprising.
Very, very. AFC North, Steelers, Bengals. Really surprised by this one that, you know, the Bengals are 6-2 at this stage, and they're at home as well. I know the Steelers stubbed their toe a little this last week, but I was very impressed with how methodical they were and how they beat up on the Patriots week before last. Question is, you know, can – well, let's find out. I mean, do the Bengals have any shelf life here?
Well, the Bengals, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, they're going to make some waves in the AFC North over the next month for this simple reason. They host the Steelers. They play at Baltimore. They host Cleveland, and then they go to Pittsburgh. Their next four games are all in the division. Mm. So that tells you that they're going, and their final game of the year, by the way, I believe they host the Ravens. So, you know, with eight games to play, five of their games are within the division. And again, here's another team or another division. It's a three-team race. We have so many divisions in the AFC this year, which probably before the season started, John, we would have guessed were two-team races. And they've wound up being three-team races. And, you know, the Bengals' defense, second against the run, very deep on the defensive line. Andy Dalton making good decisions for the most part, not turning over the ball a lot, just enough running, A.J. Green. But Pittsburgh has always played very, very well in Cincinnati. You know, the Steelers the last couple of weeks, you know, obviously big win over New England, tough loss to Baltimore. Not having Lamar Woodley last week against the Ravens, even though James Harrison had three sacks, I thought was a big loss for the Steelers. And I don't know what his status is going to be this week, but I'll take the Steelers. And then that's not a knock on the Bengals. I just think that this is almost a must-win for the Steelers, and I say it for this reason. Again, and I'm harping on this three-team race thing, but if the Steelers fall to 0-3 in the division, that means they've got to win the rest of their division games just to get to 3-3. And what is the likelihood that Baltimore, who swept them, and Cincinnati are going to have a worse divisional record than that? So I think because the Steelers lost at home to the Ravens last week, I think they need this game more than people realize to make up for the home divisional loss last week.
Okay, I buy that. Giants 49ers. Wasn't sure this would be a big game looking at it even just a couple of weeks ago, but 49ers have the second best record in the NFL behind the Packers at 8-0. 49ers are 7-1, and they get the Giants at home. Now the Giants are coming off an emotional win. By the way, thanks for the jinx last week, because I know you picked the Patriots. But
I've done that. I've done it really well.
Yes, you have. And I think there'll be some Patriot fans that'll be ready to, well, let's just put it this way. They won't like you as much if you pick the Patriots this week.
I don't think so.
Well, may not be a problem, though, right? But the Giants, they were coming off an emotional win, and now they got to travel 3,000 miles the other way. Is this just a huge pitfall waiting to happen?
Well, I think it's obviously a tough spot, and it looks like Ahmad Bradshaw is iffy at best to play in the game. You know, with all due respect, San Francisco's defense is a lot tougher than New England's defense.
Hey, well, I think we know that. That's problem with that.
And they're just two totally different teams. You know, the San Francisco 49ers have become like kind of this mauling type of offense with that offensive line, which has a lot of former first-round draft choices, and Frank Gore, who has run for 100 yards five games in a row now. And it's great. When he's healthy, he's great to watch. And unfortunately for Frank Gore, he's had those bouts of being injured and so on, but we know how capable he is. And Alex Smith, who's only turned over the ball four times this year, doing just enough. Now listen, it was not an artistic masterpiece last week in Washington. Four field goals and a touchdown. But they have won a lot of road games. They come back home here. You know, and kudos to the Giants. The Giants who were, you know, Giants injured reserve list kind of looked like Green Bay's injured reserve list last year, with all the guys they lost before the season and guys who have gotten hurt during the course of the season. But they're 6-2. They've got a two-game lead in the division. Very impressed. Tom Coughlin, he's always the first person they talk about getting fired, and he's always got his team in the mix. It's really a shame that the semi-abuse he gets for being a really, really good football coach.
Yeah.
But I think the Giants, and this is a tough spot for them, I think the Giants just have more ways to score points than the 49ers do. And I think the Giants go out there and end the 49ers' six-game winning streak.
Wow. Russell's going out on a limb on this one.
Well, it's a long limb. It's about 3,000 miles.
Yes, so. That's very true.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump ahead for just a moment before we get to the Patriots. And the Packers are 8-0, and I know it's a divisional game against the Vikings, but if they win this game, is the talk about a possibility of 16-0 legit? And do you think the Packers will make the decision to go for 16-0? Because I think that's a fundamental decision that an organization has to decide.
Yeah, it is. And you know what's funny about that, John? Every time, well, I shouldn't say every time. For the most part, a lot of these teams who make these decisions about whether they want to do this or not, it really comes back and bites them in the you-know-where.
Sure does.
You take that foot off. Listen, you can't let me just give you an example of one team who everybody knows very, very well. And I think this gets lost sometimes. You know, obviously, Peyton Manning and the Colts, they did win that Super Bowl in 2006. And as I was pointing out this week, in 2005, they were the last team to lose. In 2006, the last team to lose. In 2009, the last team to lose. And, of course, this year, they're the last team to win, if they do win this year. And every game's been a struggle, to say the very, very least. But the year they won the Super Bowl in 2006, and you'd obviously remember that memorable AFC Championship game where they came from way behind.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't take their foot off the pedal that year. They were the number three seed behind San Diego and Baltimore. So they played an extra playoff game against Kansas City at home, then had to go to Baltimore and beat the Ravens, which they did with five field goals, and then hosted the AFC title game as the number three seed to the number four seed Patriots, which is why you don't lose games on purpose ever or take your foot off the pedal. You always get the higher seed. So you can host a game. See Arizona in 2008 when they hosted the NFC Championship game as the number four seed. When teams start making decisions on whether they should win or lose or rest players and so on, and I'm not talking about with one game to go. I'm talking about with two or three games to go. To me, in some weird way, the Colts never recovered from resting their players in 2009 when they were 14-0. And a lot of people say, well, what about the Saints? They lost their last three. But the Saints tried to beat Dallas in Week 15 and lost. And they tried to beat Tampa Bay. And then they rested their guys against Carolina the final week of the season. I think the Colts took their foot off the pedal in 2009. It was the second half against the Jets, the final game against Buffalo, another week because of the bye. Football is a game of rhythm. And I think if the regardless of circumstances, And I got to be honest with you, in that NFC North this year, I think the fact that the Lions and the Bears, while they're not tied for them in first place, one is 6-2, one is 5-3, I think that drives the Packers to continue to play hard the rest of the year, because it's very, very possible that all three of those teams could wind up in the playoffs.
All three of them.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we see.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Sure.
Yeah, we see. I'm trying to think. The last time right off the top of my head, I do remember 2007 when the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans all got in the playoffs.
Right.
In this era of four team divisions and so on. But I mean, you think about the NFC. The NFC West is probably going to give us one team. NFC East is
probably
hard to
just
tell
one.
What's going on there?
Yeah, it's probably one team there too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. A lot's going to me, a lot will depend on, listen, the one thing the Giants haven't done yet is play the Cowboys.
Well, that's true. And then, of course, if the Cowboys, you know, win against Buffalo, then you'd have to say the Cowboys have thrust themselves into position.
Right. I mean, the thing about the Eagles, and not to exclude the Redskins, but just the Eagles point to throw out there is the Eagles are already three games out of first place. The Eagles have already lost to the Giants at home.
Right.
And keep this in mind. The Eagles have lost to Atlanta. The Eagles have lost to Chicago.
So tiebreakers are done there.
Right. They lost to San Francisco, which is less relevant than the Bears and the Falcons win. That's
okay.
Why this game on I thought Monday night was incredibly huge for the Eagles to win at home, and they couldn't get the job done.
Okay.
And it's going to be interesting to see where they go the rest of the year. But I don't rule out the fact, listen, the Bears are playing excellent football right now. They have, last year, after the bye, they kind of abandoned for the sake of their quarterback, you know, throwing the ball all over the place and running the ball, Matt Forte. This year it took him about three games to abandon that philosophy, and Matt Forte, to me, has been one that is an MVP candidate of this league. And if you watch them Monday night against Philadelphia, listen, the Bears were fun to watch. Jay Cutler didn't get sacked. He looked comfortable. Their defense is a little better rested. To me, the Bears, listen, the Bears won that division last year, and I think they're even better this year.
All right, Patriots-Jets then, Sunday night at MetLife Stadium. Both teams are 5-3, along with the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots have dropped two in a row for the first time in a couple of years. It could be three in a row for the first time in almost a decade if they lose to the Jets. And the Jets team, physically, pretty stout last week against Buffalo, I got to admit.
Yeah, I thought it was the first time we saw the Jets really play a solid defensive game all year, where they looked, they were flying around the ball, they were physical. You know, they were kind of like, well, you know, the offense made a couple of early turnovers, and you know, they shook those off. And when you can hold the Bills down like they did, and the Bills score on just about everybody, you know, that's a pretty good defensive effort, instead, especially in Buffalo. As much as being made about the Patriots losing two in a row, and you already alluded to, they haven't lost three in a row since 2002, which is when they lost four in a row,
right,
the year after that first Super Bowl win. To me, this game is even more important to the New York Jets. And the reason being is, we know, barring a tie, which we haven't had one in a couple years, mm-hmm, 2008,
right,
one of these teams is going to be 5-4. And a 5-4 Jets team would have been swept by New England. And I know I harp on these tiebreakers already, but we don't talk about this stuff until like December. And then you go, oh, yeah, they lost two of them. Oh, yeah, they're 1-5 in the division, et cetera, et cetera. When you have these three-team races, again, I'm harping on the same fact, you've got to hold serve at home. And the Jets, you know, the last time they played New England, which is also the last time I believe New England scored 30 points in a game, just couldn't get the job done. I mean, they had their moments in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis wore them down in the fourth quarter. And to me, even though I'm leaning toward the Jets in this game, I'm not going to be surprised if New England bounces back. I mean, there's so much doom and gloom surrounding the Patriots, and I think sometimes that's the, you know, the Patriots have become so good that people want to see the giant fall a little.
Yeah.
And so on.
Yeah.
But I think the Jets win at home because they have to win.
I would agree with that.
I don't think this is a must-win game for the Patriots, other
right
than the fact that, well, all of a sudden they've lost three games in a row for the first time in 9 years.
Right.
I think this is a must-game win for the New York Jets, because they can't afford to, no matter what they do with New England, they're going to be behind them because they would have been swept.
I agree with that. Russell, my friend, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much again for the time today. And shall we do it again?
I'm in touch with that emotion. and listen, the best part about this is, on the, for the rest of the way out,
yeah,
we got Thursday Night Football.
I know, which is also going to really liven things up a little bit more, right? That's,
yeah.
I'm pumped. I actually, you know, to borrow the you know, the Pete Carroll phrase, I'm pumped and jacked about that. So, right.
Well, it should be a good game tonight, because I think the unpredictability of both the Raiders and the Chargers is definitely in play here. And again, it's nice to have a weekend, and next week we get the last of the byes, but all 32 teams are playing this week, and I love it. I remember football when we didn't have bye weeks.
No byes, divisional play. We're turning the corner on the halfway part of the season. Now we're getting to serious football. That's
absolutely
what I like about it.
Every team's played at least 8 games.
Bingo.
And the table setting is done. It's now time to go out and get your entree.
That's exactly right. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, John. Talk to you next week.
Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, joining us in the playbook as he does each and every Thursday, not only on the Patriots game, but, of course, games around the NFL. And we're going to step right from Russell Baxter to Eric Allen, who covers the Jets for Jets.com, and he joined us here in the playbook. Eric, thanks for hanging on for a couple of minutes. Sure appreciate that.
No problem. Glad to join you, John.
Let's kind of talk a little bit about what Russell just mentioned. We really, it's sort of the opinion here is that if you put everything out on the table and look at this as analytically as you possibly can, would you agree or disagree with the fact that this game might mean a little bit more to the Jets at this stage of the season?
I definitely agree with you guys because the Patriots held serve at home. They did what they had to do. The Jets have to win this game, hold serve, even it up, and then they'd actually take a lead in the division as far as not only games but tiebreakers down the line. When you look at the Patriots' schedule, and I was looking at, I was taking a glance at that as you guys were talking, it's very manageable after this Jets game. I mean, they have Kansas City, I believe, and then at Philadelphia, which was going to be an interesting game, but then the Colts at home, at Washington, at Denver,
yeah.
Miami at home. That looks like a lot of wins on paper to me. So, yes, definitely the Jets have to win this game. Rex Ryan has said this week, to be the champ, you have to beat the champ. And the Jets have had an interesting perspective all week. It's kind of a quiet confidence. I know a lot of folks around the country think of this team as brash, a lot of bravado. They think they're an improved football team than a team who played the Patriots back earlier in the season. And we'll see on Sunday. But remember in that game, the Jets entered that game on a two-game losing streak, losing both in Oakland and then in Baltimore. And the interesting thing about that game was a 17-14 late. It was 27-21 after Santonio Holmes scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And the Jets were just getting their feet on the ground, I thought. And now they've really gained a momentum. They like where they are headed into this key divisional battle.
I believe that. Now, let's kind of set it aside for a moment and flip it over to another angle. If the Jets lose on Sunday and they drop to 5-4, mathematically they're not out of it, but are they still in it?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, because you look at the Jets' schedule following this game, they're going to go to Denver, short week, but that's a Broncos team they should really take care of. Then Buffalo at home, and I don't know if you got a chance to see any of that game. The Jets physically dominated the Bills, and what the Bills are doing is, from an offensive perspective, is very interesting. When you're looking at Fitzpatrick, he's taking those quick reads and firing the ball. Well, the Jets were all over him coverage-wise, and they manhandled up front, both on the offensive and defensive lines. That game wasn't as close as the score indicated. And then they go to Washington themselves, and then they have Kansas City at home. So I don't think that the Jets would necessarily be done, but I don't know if they can win the division if they don't win this game. I still think they would be in it from a wild card perspective,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not so sure with the Buffalo Bills, who are tied with both of these teams, and they own a win, obviously, against the Patriots. I don't know if the Bills are going to be able to survive this three-game stretch they have when you look at their schedule. They're in Dallas this week, then they're playing in Miami, and then they come to the Jets. So we're going to find out a lot about the Bills coming up. But, yes, key game for the Jets. If they're going to win the division, yes, Rex Ryan said it this week, they have to have this game.
You know, Eric, you touched on something I think that's a key for this game on Sunday night, and the fact of, that the Jets were able to sort of cut off some of those short routes that the Bills like to use timing-wise. And I think, obviously, that's certainly been a big key to Tom Brady and the Patriots' success in finding, the short routes open to Wes Welker and even Aaron Hernandez to a little bit of a lesser extent. Where do you see this game on Sunday boiling down to in terms of the Jets' ability to either defend or move the ball against a Patriots defense?
Right. Well, I think this Patriots defense, as far as the Patriots defense is concerned, I think the Jets have to stay true to who they are. You look at on paper, of course, the Patriots defense, pass secondary, we all know, 32nd in the National Football League. But the Jets, in that earlier meeting with the Patriots, what really cost them in that game, 7 3-and-outs. They've been able to move the ball lately because they've gotten back to a ground-and-pound philosophy. They've averaged 122 yards on the ground the last four games. And you know what that's done? That's forced a lot of teams to play 8-in-the-box against them, and it's opened up some things in the passing game for Mark Sanchez as far as in the play-action game. Mm-hmm. And Mark Sanchez, when looking ahead to this game, he's played very well against the Patriots at home, a 67% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, as the Jets have won 2 games at home the last 2 years, obviously, against the Patriots. But I think they have to stay true to who they are. Earlier in the season, Rex Ryan admitted it, that he got enamored with the personnel here, meaning Plaxico Burress, Antonio Holmes,
and then Derek Mason. And the Jets went to a lot of three receiver sets, and they got away from who they are. They're a team who wants to control the ball, get manageable down and distance situations, put their quarterback in comfortable situations, and then work the ball down the field. Sanchez was great last week in the play-action game because the Jets stayed on the ground. And I think they have to do this, even though the Patriots have been solid against the ground. When you look at their rankings this year, I think they're in the top 10. But I still think the Jets are going to come out, run the ball, try to get Sean Green established. Maybe he can get into that second level, punish the defensive backs, and then hit them up in the passing game because they got to like their matchups with Santonio Holmes. Plaxico Burress, who had three touchdowns against the Chargers, I think he had his best game actually last week against the Bills, and they didn't even know if he was going to play that until game time. He sat out practice this week. We were just in the locker room.
Right.
And he thinks he'll be able to practice tomorrow, so he'll definitely be in the lineup. And the other thing about the Jets, when you look at them early in the season, I think a lot of people tend to forget this. When they lost to Oakland, they lost to Baltimore, and the offensive line looked like it was in shambles. Nick Mangold wasn't in the lineup. His first game back was against the Patriots. Also, Brandon Moore, a mauler at right guard, he had off-season surgery. I think he's starting to hit a stride. And then right tackle Wayne Hunter, who's a new starter this year, he struggled in the first game against DeMarcus Ware, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
And he's really come on as well. So the Jets are very confident right now.
What do you think it is about the Patriots, Eric, that might present the Jets some problems based on what you've seen and then certainly what happened a month ago in that 30-21 win for the Patriots here in Foxborough?
Well, the big surprise of that game was late when – and Rex Ryan admitted that when Tom Brady came out, 27-21, the game was still within doubt, and the Jets basically dared them to run. They put their small defensive backs in the game, and the Patriots did just that. They got to the edge, and everything starts, obviously, with when you're talking about the Patriots, with Tom Brady. And there's a healthy respect there. I think there's some blown coverages in that first game. You look at that Walker long gainer where Revis had coverage at first, but then he saw the safety was coming over, and then Walker got behind both of the guys. I think Revis is going to be on Walker, so that's a matchup, obviously, we're going to keep our eyes on. And then the two-headed monster at tight end, the Jets have been successful in the past. Last year, their game plan was phenomenal when they went up to Foxborough in the divisional playoff round.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, in the last two games against the Patriots, they've been able to get after Brady, and I think disguise the coverages. That's what they still have to do, and they've had success doing that this year. Showing man, everybody knows the Jets love to play man, but they've been showing man at times and then coming off and playing zone. And Darrell Revis has four interceptions this season, so expect Revis to go with Walker. The Jets are going to need to slow him down. He's on pace for 1,900 yards, I think, this season. Unbelievable year.
Right.
And then the two-headed monster, tight end, disguise against Brady, get off the field on third down. One thing the Jets have done a lot better this season compared to last season, they had 12 interceptions all of last season. They have 13 at the season's midway point. And on the other side of the ball, it all starts with Mark Sanchez as far as just keeping the ball. Don't turn the football over. They turned the football over twice in the first half last week in a game they really had control of against the Bills. They only went in an intermission up 3-0. He has to hold on to the football, and they'll be fine because the green and white have really improved this season. Also, in the red zone, they're fourth in the NFL in touchdown percentages inside the red zone. And I think Plaxico Burress has really helped out there.
Big
teams have changed their coverages.
Right.
Looking at that San Diego game when he exposed the Chargers secondary with three touchdowns.
Let me ask you something about something that you just touched on in terms of the Jets' improvement defensively. More picks to this point in time than they had all of last year. Is it because they've done a better job of disguising? Where has the improvement come from in your estimation?
I think they went to a youth movement, and you guys know that because Sean Ellis is obviously up there in New England on that defensive line. They went to a youth movement up front. Muhammad Wilkerson, he's been up front as a starter day one coming in, the rookie. They also drafted Kenrick Ellis. They love the rotation up front as far as the defensive line's concerned. Mike DeVito missed last game against the Bills, but they expect him back. They're hoping to have him back this week. But they got him inside, Sione Buha, Muhammad Wilkerson, Kenrick Ellis, Marcus Dixon's main contribution. So they like that young defensive line front. The inside linebackers are as steady as ever. David the Hitman Harris, he's coming off AFC Defensive Player of the Week performance against the Bills. Bart Scott is feeling healthy. He said last year he struggled with the hamstrings, but he's feeling healthy. And Kelvin Pace is playing well on the outside. And interestingly enough, when you're talking about the Jets and this division, is one guy's cast off, Aaron Maben, one team's cast off, I should say, has come in here, and Rex Ryan has used him in good pass rushing situations. The guy has 3 sacks. So he's come in and helped the pass rush out. And then the back end, on the outside, you gotta love it. When you have Revis, that is so valuable. And then Antonio Cromartie's been up and down, but when he's been up, he's had a real good season. He's got 3 interceptions. Safety play, Jim Leonard's played well. Eric Smith. Brodney Poole, though, here's a key, name to watch out for as far as defending the pass this week. Brodney Poole did not practice today. It seems rather iffy whether he's going to go. He's got a knee injury, so he might be down this week. But they're going to need all the guys, because Rex Ryan in the past has liked to play small ball against the Patriots defending Tom Brady and company.
Yeah, interesting about Brodney Poole. So based on that, maybe perhaps being a factor, do you see a shootout at all here, or do you think this might have more of a defensive tinge to it?
I really don't see a shootout, because I think the Jets are going to try to control that football.
Yeah, that's
stay on the ground, and then hopefully that will open things up for them in a passing situation. And then conversely, the Patriots have had a little bit of trouble scoring lately. I don't think Tom Brady's playing poorly, but you see his interceptions are up. And this defense, they're really tough to move the football on. And the Jets special teams are playing real well. So when they pin you back, this is a tough defense to move 85 yards against, 80 yards against those long drives. I think the Patriots could be in trouble unless they get the turnovers. They got to get to Mark Sanchez because this defense is going to be tough. And Rex Ryan has challenged the crowd this week because he knows how important this game is to his team and this franchise. He wants to win the division. Let's face it, they've had some success in the postseason the last couple seasons, but that's not the way to get to the Super Bowl. So if the end goal here is the Super Bowl, they have to win the division, and they want to host playoff games here. Well, how is that going to be helped? You got to win this game, and he's challenged the fans. So I think it's going to be an incredible environment Sunday night. Tom Brady's obviously, he's a tested guy. It's going to be an interesting matchup, but I think it's going to be more low scoring than anything.
I would agree. Sounds like it's going to be a pretty good environment. Eric Allen, Jets.com. Hey, thanks for joining us, Eric. We'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, John.
You got it. Eric Allen again, Jets.com. Guy is, he knows his stuff about the Jets, doesn't he? Sounds passionate, doesn't he? Woo! Okay, you ready for this one? I think we're about upon it. All right, you got a couple of minutes left. You haven't gotten in your prediction for Sunday night. Fire away, webradio@patriots.com, or hit me up on Facebook. This one comes from Garrett, who says, this is Garrett from New Jersey. I'm a diehard Pats fan my whole life while living in Jersey. There's nothing worse than watching the Pats lose to the Giants in 07 and going outside to calm myself, only be greeted by fireworks going off everywhere and having to listen to Giants fans screaming in celebration. It's got a long story here a little bit, so we'll go toward the bottom. I did read it, though, Garrett. Please be sure of that. He says, I'm not really sure what's going on with the Edelman trial right now, but my question is whether or not you think signing Flat Top to the active roster is a move made in case Edelman is found guilty and the Patriots release him. Partially.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's regardless.
I think so, man.
Returning kicks.
Yeah, I think so.
After how Edelman played last week.
Yeah, and Flat Top, for those that don't know, Taquan Underwood.
Best
so, you know, he's got the nice, yeah, he's got great old school high rise, the Flat Top thing going there.
Kid
so.
And play.
Yeah, kid and play. Yeah, very good do. But at any rate, yeah, I think it's more for return purposes than receivership purposes. But
He might get some time in there at receiver, but my guess is, yeah, more for kick returns because the Patriots' kick return game right now and kickoffs is abysmal. They're toward the end of the, toward the bottom of the league. Okay. Janine. Oh, hello, Janine. This is your friend from Austin. Well, nice to hear from you, Janine. On Sunday night, I was about as pessimistic as they come, but throughout the week, my optimism has grown. I'm one of the younger pups, so I guess that might have something to do with it. The defense looked tremendously better during the Giants game, with the exception of the last couple minutes. Would agree with you there. I think that we were worked out with very closely throughout the week prior to the Giants game. If the offensive line and Brady have been worked with this week, perhaps we'll see a dual improvement. Rexy Ryan, a little too jolly in his acting role in recent victories. I think the Pats might just go in and slap him and his team upside the head. I think that it is crucial for the Pats to come out and score on their first drive. I predict that the score is going to end up 20-17 Patriots. You know, Janine, that's a good point, because the last 2 weeks now, both losses, Patriots have been 3-and-done on their opening drive. I would go as far as to say, sure, a score on the opening drive would be huge, but at the very least, if you're able to pull out a couple of first downs, then I think at least you've gotten rid of the negative taste in your mouth.
A little bit of clock to chew up.
Yeah.
That's been a big problem, too.
Yeah.
They went 3-and-out, and then the other team went on a long.
Right, yeah, and that's the other thing. And if you're going to go out and get a couple of first downs and you come up short on the score, you can't let the other team come right down and jam it down your throat and get into the end zone. So if you're not going to score yourself on the opening drive, you got to keep the Jets from scoring on the opening drive themselves, because that will certainly set tempo for the game. Dan says, didn't mean any disrespect to the players from the earlier period. Obviously, they were an awesome playing group. It'd be great if the Patriots still had players like Ty Law and Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel, Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, and their teammates on defense. Just thought that part of the Patriots' ability to have all those players on the roster and retain serviceable backups was due to their ability to manage the salaries and the players' willingness to put team success over personal financial gain. Again, no disrespect intended to the incredible talent of those players. This was a Patriot question, I think, for the guys earlier. Okay, thank you for your clarification. Ross in New Brunswick. Always optimistic. No denying it. This game is a huge test. We haven't won in New Jersey in the Ryan era. But optimism is a funny thing, sometimes misled. Let's look at the season. We hadn't lost to the Bills in nearly a decade. Lo and behold, we had lost at home with Brady at the helm in years. Lo and behold, streaks end. Momentum swings. So what's to say this week we don't win this one at the Jets? We have too much heart to lay down and lose three in a row. We'll be up for it this game. This is it. This is the turning point in our season. Jets have an offense our D can handle. Tom will right the ship with a lot of help from the run game. Love the sport. Love the team. Flawed as they are, Jets suck. That's what he's, Ross in New Brunswick. Sounds like he's got his pom-poms waving. But I actually like his reasoning. Because it's just as good as anything else I've heard. And I'm also getting a sense now, because early in the show I said we were about 50-50 with optimists versus pessimists, right? We definitely have toward the end of the show an uptick, an upswing in the optimists. Can't say that I'm surprised, but it's always good to hear anyway. Erica from Mississippi. I'm one of those rabid Patriots fans. Started watching the Patriots in 04. I don't watch the games until I know if they lose or win. And the games they win, I watch over and over again. And I don't watch the losses. Spoken like a true fan.
04.
Yeah.
Boy, those, I love, what horrible days those were.
I know. After this past weekend, I find myself turning into a pessimist.
Ooh.
I was physically sick Sunday after the Giants game, and I thought, this is just ridiculous. I can't be like this over a football game. So I'm going into this weekend thinking the Patriots will lose, even though I hope they don't. With that said, my prediction's Patriots 33, Jets 24. I know I'm crazy, right? But I just can't go against them because I love them so much.
It's so ridiculous.
No, no. That's spoken like a true fan. Spoken like a true fan. Okay? I have no problem with that.
Plus,
at all.
You got 8 hours to get lubed up, as Tom would say, before the game. It's an 8 o'clock game, 8:15 game.
I'm liking that. Tony says, sorry I didn't give you my score in the last email, but he says Pat's 34-20. You know, I'm actually pleasantly surprised.
34-20.
I'm pleasantly surprised by the number of positive Patriots responses. I really expected more Jets.
34-20.
Yeah,
I expect a lot of points for that game.
It's quite a bit. But
I hope you're right.
I expected more Jets honks to come through and more Jets wins to come through, and it's not coming through.
Josh from Seaville. I have to say that although everyone else seems to have their doubts, I remain optimistic. Watching the games as closely as I do, I know that the Pats have had their struggles on both sides of the ball. The offense has been sputtering, and our defense seems like it's finally trying to get the other team off the field. Had some success doing so last week against the Giants. I think a lot of us Pats fans are spoiled by how much our team wins, but you have to look at the games we've lost. Not just how we played, but how the Giants in particular played. The Giants came out, played probably better than I've seen them play for the vast majority of the season. They knew what they were up against. They were not playing around when they stepped foot on the field. Steelers, on the other hand, are a tough team. They know us very well. They know that they don't really switch their defensive approaches up a lot, such as they knew what the Patriots were expecting. It almost seems like these teams are starting to figure out how to slow the offensive juggernaut that is the Patriots, and I have to admit that does make me nervous. However, I don't see the Patriots losing the game, this game, not just because it would be three in a row or because the Jets don't have what it takes, but because I think that BB and Tom are smart enough to know what they did wrong. When they go back and look at the film for the past few weeks, then look at what the Jets have in store for them on Sunday. I believe Bill and Tom will be able to put a good game plan in place, perhaps a backup plan, judging by how things went last week. Backup plan would be nice, by the way, Pete. Mm-hmm. And they need to stop picking on the battered Gronkowski and Welker so much and turn their offense into a fully functional machine.
Well, the backup plan would be not to get two horrible pass interference calls, which they deserved late in the game.
Yeah.
That would have helped.
Yeah.
They would have won the game.
Are you surprised by
the ball?
Yeah. Are you surprised by the optimism here?
No, you know, I think reverse logic is, I mean, if people want to go crazy about all these trends that have gone against the Patriots this year, and, it's fitting that the Jets still don't really know what the Jets are all about. I'm not going to go crazy because how Buffalo, they played against Buffalo, and then they played very well defensively against Buffalo, but we'll see. There's still a lot of football left. I still think the Patriots are more the one thing that scares me, obviously, is Hadeabo and Sergio Brown might be your only safeties coming up.
That's scary.
And maybe the rookie.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be a field goal game. I mean, I'm probably going to pick the Patriots by three. I think it's going to be a field goal game, something like 23-20, 20-17. I just don't I don't see tons and tons of points unless there's some, turnovers on special teams or something like that.
What else?
Should be a hell of a game.
Yeah, what else you got coming up today? I know we got B-Lo, right?
Yeah, B-Lo's back finally. His voice is intact. He's a newlywed like myself, and I still think that's why he missed last week.
You guys going to swap newlywed, a honeymoon story?
I thought you were going to say something else. I was like, hey, easy. This is a Christian show.
Newlywed game. That's right.
You
call your spouse
now,
you play the newlywed game.
You were the match game host. Why can't
I know.
Why can't you be Bob Eubanks?
I would love to do it.
You know?
I would love to do it.
Some of the greatest game show bloopers of all time.
Newlywed
live
game. Yes.
On the newlywed game.
Absolutely.
I can't really say them here, but
I know.
You can Google it.
Absolutely.
I'm already mood. You know why? Because I found Crystal Light iced tea in the other room. I just made a nice glass of iced tea. Because you know there's everything in this freaking hellhole down here except for water. They don't even bring coffee. Ridiculous.
We have some Diet Coke.
Diet Coke. But I found Crystal
Light. Pepsi building, we have Diet Coke in here.
Crystal Light iced tea in the other room.
Nice.
I stole a pack and made a whole thing.
Nice. Nice.
Who else is coming on? Larry Hardesty at 5:30. The Jets sideline reporter will join me at 5:30. And in between, I got obviously B-Lo with fantasy football at 4, and then 5:00 Patriots Jets. More Penn State stuff as the story keeps getting bigger and bigger. And there's some more, a lot of rumors and innuendo, but man, there's some more stuff coming out that's just it's unbelievable. And those kids, shame on you last night. Shame on you.
They're kids. They don't know.
Oh, yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They do, too.
No, they don't.
They do, too. If they don't, then they're really moronic. Then they're really more moronic than I thought.
I think
that's being a jackass.
You're telling me if they cannot read between the lines and not see
I'm not saying that.
From the players, the quote from the coach, from Paterno himself, look at that grand jury report. You can't possibly have... forget loyalty.
They don't have the depth of understanding that you are.
They are supporting people who were aware of a pedophile. Period. There is no other discussion. If that cannot seep into your brain, I don't care what age you are, you got issues.
Fair enough. All right, there you go. This is Angelo and Everett. Angelo, you're in the playbook.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Listen, the way I look at it is this: this is a must-win for the Patriots, and I'll tell you the reasons why. We are not just dealing with the Jets. We're dealing with Buffalo, who have gotten better. They have to win this game.
No, they haven't.
Get them, huh?
Buffalo hasn't gotten better. They've gotten worse, and they're going to lose again to Dallas on Sunday.
Pete, are you sure about that?
Absolutely. Mark it down. That's going to be one of my super locks of the week.
But I'm just telling you.
How'd they look against the Jets on Sunday?
Not good, but I'm telling you, Pete, that they're a good team. You
telling
can't sleep
me,
on them.
Telling me? Look what they've, I mean, they haven't really been impressive the last month.
Well, I'm just telling you. Okay. Buffalo, they're going to be, they're a sneaky team. They're going to
put Debbie on.
People.
I don't want to talk. Put Debbie on.
Oh, thanks, Pete.
I love you, Angela. I love you. You used to call all the time.
I know. But no, I just want to call and say, I just think that the Patriots have to win this game, because if they don't, let's be honest, this could be a problem going down the road.
I don't disagree with that.
Look
I,
at the schedule going down the road.
It's a much better schedule
down
the road.
Schedule.
It's pretty good, but if you don't win this game, you still have to hope for the Jets to stumble, and the Jets have just as easy a schedule. So I would argue the Jets still have, this is still more of a must win for them because the Patriots won the first time around.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, we still got Green Bay coming up, and they're undefeated, and that's a very.
Who's got Green Bay coming up?
We do, the Patriots.
Wrong.
No.
No, we don't?
No.
You sure about that? I saw the schedule the other
absolutely
day.
Absolutely 100% positive.
No, Green Bay what? On the schedule.
They got.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw
the Giants do.
Giants have them, yeah.
Oh, that's probably what it was. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, sure.
You got it.
Put Debbie on.
Angelo and Everett. I know. I'm honored. Cat in Chicago says, John, I've been thinking about a prediction for this weekend and was conflicted. Then I thought, what will I feel like when I sit down in front of the TV to watch? The answer, dread. Last week, I expected to win and ended up scaring both my dog and my husband out of the room with my yelling at every boneheaded play. This week, I expect a loss. Even if the Pats end up with a lead, I know that I'll be sitting there expecting them to blow it in the fourth quarter. I'd love if I'm wrong, but my prediction is Pats 20, Jets 27. Wow, Cat, that's... Okay, you know what? I like her analysis. Chris says, Patriots 27, Jets 17. While Cromartie, Revis, and Kyle Wilson can man up, the Jets safeties can't play man. And that's his point in that particular instance. All right, one final email here. Paul says, I'd like to be more optimistic about the Patriots this season, but I'm having a hard time. Part of it, I really like watching two great defenses battling each other. I was hopeful watching the first two preseason games this year, and that didn't last. Best football game I watched this season was college. LSU-Alabama, 9-6. Far from arena football, the NFL seems to want to be. I'm mostly pessimistic, though, because I don't see the Patriots solving their problems, like a pass rush. I also don't see trading down in the draft for value as working. Wow. I can't end on a pessimistic note. I just can't.
No.
Bruce in Baltimore, save me. I'm 55, I grew up in New England, began watching the Boston Patriots in high school, and while we have enjoyed success in the last decade, we long-term fans have seen many disappointing seasons. I'm hopeful for Sunday. I believe the Patriots can win.
Even
though my analytical self admits the odds are not in their favor.
Nonsense. Poppycock. This is just what you want. You want the whole world against you, baby. This is what we've been waiting for.
And we're waiting for Pete Shepard. We'll be back next Tuesday, same Pat's time, same Pat's channel. Pete is next.